The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth Moore offers hope when your family experiences calamity.
One reason why I don't want to get any joy out of that is it could be my family tomorrow. I mean, our friend and I have teased that we're afraid to turn on the TV lest we turn onto some talk show like Jerry Springer and there's our family. And worse yet, we're right there with them and forgot we did it. I mean, can you imagine?
Family calamity and restoration next.
I am excited about coming to many areas of our country. Check the website to see when and if we'll be in your area. The Indivisible Book Tour. This is the way to lead our great nation out of the wilderness back into the land of blessing and promise. Don't miss it. Thank you so much. It is a joy to share this time with you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled that you joined us on Life Today. I'm holding in my hands, you talk about a labor of love. Well, this is it. Betty, I'm not exaggerating when I say 3 years in so many ways on my face before the Lord and 18 months of fleshing out Indivisible, restoring faith, family, and freedom, including a healthy free market, greed vulnerable, not greed dependent, not greed driven. That's a misnomer. All freedom is vulnerable to abuse. Jay Richards joined me writing the book. He is, in my opinion, a gift from God to us. Governor Huckabee says, on the cover, you read this book, it'll forever change the way you view the world. He says it's the game changer, the course corrector. Most of our national leaders who have read the book are saying now, this is the way out of the pit and the ditch of defeat, of debt. This is the way back to the blessings that God says are on the nations whose God is the Lord. Well, Beth Moore, Betty, is talking about faith and family because she talks about family calamity and restoration. Beth Moore is really, as you are, a key to correcting the course of our ship of state. It all starts right here with us. Right. Our faith, our family, a love and appreciation for our freedom. Be talking to you a little later. Here is Beth Moore. Enjoy her.
My grandson, Jackson, who is 4 years old, is the enthusiast of the family. Every feeling he has is huge. And his teachers even tell us that in his preschool class, that even if they say, okay, let's all sit down and have our art time, he goes, yes, art time, yes, art time. if it's snack time, he goes, I love snacks, I want snacks. I mean, they said everything's time to play outside. I love to play outside. I'm going to play outside. He's very, very enthusiastic. Now, I don't know where he gets that. And you can imagine with that big personality, he is the other sanguine in our extended family. I'm the only true sanguine, a party looking to happen until Jackson came along. And boy, he took it, which tells you that he is in trouble all the time. All the time because we have big feelings. But his little sister comes along and she's just got a different, more laid-back personality. But she's learning from him, but she has to learn it her own way. And he claps and cheers about everything. Even honestly, when he would first was potty trained and would use the toilet, he would get up and go, I won! I won! He just things to be excited about here. And so along comes Annabeth, and with that laid-back personality, it just absolutely kills me. Now, she's learning from that time, but when she first really began to be able to emulate him, here's how she would do it. She'd clap 3 times. Yay. Not even a smile on her face, nothing. I mean, just like this, she'd go, yay. And, you know, after a while, she started putting a little smile back to it. But I thought to myself, as we start this series on family, some of you going, yay. I don't know what this is going to say to me, and I don't even know if I want to hear it, but I am asking you to stay tuned into it because I believe God's going to lead us to some healing. I believe that later in the series, if not in the very beginning, we are going to start going, yay, yay. He is the healer. He is the redeemer. And I pray he's got a work ready for us. If you were raised by wolves, maybe you will not have a lot to apply to this series. But if you have come from anything remotely resembling a family, I bet you could use just a little bit of tender love and care. Would you stand, please, and let's go before the throne of grace together. I'm so blessed to go into God's Word with you. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. Father, we bless your name this day, and we say to you that we want ears to hear you, God. We ask you to circumcise our hearts so that we can feel our emotions toward you and feel, Father, where there is pain and where there is brokenness, that you would come, Father, and you would tend to us. We need tending to. Father, I think that even as an adult, that every now and then I just wish I had someone to mother me, that I had someone to father me. And Father, that's you. You are our Father. You have set up this whole design called family. And with everything in us, we cry out, Abba, Father, through this series. Come, come, tend to our brokenness. Come, give us insight. Come and give us healing, Father. Do so to bring glory to your great name. And it is in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me, first of all, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and then we're going to jump over to 2 Samuel chapter 13. You and I are going to spend the next couple of weeks looking into the family of the man after God's own heart. And we're going to be speaking specifically about something that we will call family calamity. It's got a real ring to it, even if we don't like the way it sounds. Family calamity. I want you to say it with me. I wonder if it just happens to ring a bell to anybody. Anybody besides me had a little family calamity. Maybe in your family of origin, maybe in the family that lives under your roof right now. Some of us may not have spoken to some family members in years because of a calamity. But I want you to understand from Scripture that there's family calamity all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And there is healing for us. There is shame that God wants to tend to in our lives. And I want you to see a little bit of the process of what a family calamity was like that we could say over, and we need this from time to time, that we'd be able to look at a situation and go, okay, that's just about as bad as it gets. Maybe ours was not quite that bad. I want you to begin with me in 2 Samuel chapter 7 because there are some words that the man after God's own heart uses that gives us a little reference point from which this will all go. He says this is at the pinnacle moment of his kingdom and his rule, when he's really gotten, somehow absorbed the reality that he is in the lineage of the kingdom that will never end, that God has chosen his line, chosen his lineage. And he says these words, 2 Samuel 7, verse 18, then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? Who am I, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? I wonder if any of us have had a long enough journey with Christ to say, listen, if you would have told me I would be here today and halfway sane, let alone in a place like this, studying God's Word together, let alone where you're still deciding to get up in the morning after all you've been through, can any of us say, who am I, O Lord, that out of your graciousness to me, you have brought my family and me this far, this far? Please understand with me that for anything God does, the enemy is going to attempt to counterfeit. And God is a God who wants to bring us to such a place that our lives become a living testimony that it could only be Him. He wants to remove every other excuse, every other reason for how far you have come, except that He is God and that He Himself did it. He is after that glory. But I assure you, you have an enemy. As someone who is scheming to take not only you down, but our entire families with us. the enemy of the family, the enemy of every single institution God has built up and ordained. And he is vicious and he's relentless. And he wants to bring us to a place where we could say, how could it ever have gone this far? Could anybody besides me say today, you know, when that situation started, I never intended to end up here. Anybody? I had no thought that sin would take me here, that flirting with that particular situation would end me up here. I had no idea that this is where this thing would end. And I need you to hear from the scriptures today. It's not over yet. Are you living and breathing? Are you drawing breath? Let me tell you, no matter what the enemy has done, no matter how far he has taken this thing, it's not finished. And God has come to bring some healing and some understanding to this thing that you and I are going to call family calamity. I want you to turn with me now to 2 Samuel chapter 13 and sit tight for just a moment. And we're going to build 7 statements over the course of our 2-part series about family restoration, and this thing we're calling family calamity. And it starts right here. I want you to jot this down, and then we're going to start looking into the scriptures to see how it will shape up, how it will take on almost a video quality. We'll be able to just watch this whole scene play out in the family calamity of the man after God's own heart, who did not cease to be the man after God's own heart throughout this entire ordeal. Number one, any family can have calamity. Any family can have calamity. I want you to jot that down, because some of you are thinking, you know, it only happens to people like me. Some of you have decided, you've identified yourself somewhere in the trash category, and you're thinking to yourself, this kind of thing only happens to people like me. That's not so. That's not so. Family calamity is no respecter of persons. It does not prefer the poor to the rich. Now, it may be that the rich have a better ability to cover it, but that may also mean that it takes them longer to deal with it. If we can keep it covered and we can keep it together on the outside, sometimes we won't deal. If it's obvious and out there, sometimes we have to. So in some respects, they could stay in their bondage longer than the poor, because they can get away to some extent with covering the entire thing. But let me tell you, any family can have calamity. It's no respecter of race or creed. Today's happy family could be tomorrow's tabloid. One reason why, when we check out our groceries and look at some of the covers to those rag sheets, we think to ourselves, you know, one reason why I don't want to get any joy out of that is it could be my family tomorrow. I mean, our friend and I have teased that we're afraid to turn on the TV lest we turn on to some talk show like Jerry Springer and there's our family. And worse yet, we're right there with them and forgot we did it. I mean, can you imagine? And I began trying to recount in my memory the things that just my family of origin had been through. And I think this is important, because I think very often we look at other people that seem in a worldly sense to have it all together. And I assure you, do not think that here. It would be extremely inappropriate and misguided. I can't even tell you. We don't have the time to recount everything my family of origin has been through, but I'm going to tell you a few of those things. I want to share with you, as I do, that here recently something interesting has happened. Back in my Bible study in Houston a couple of years ago, my in-laws started coming. And they had never been to Bible study before and had some friends that wanted to attend with them. So they decided that if they were going to attend with them, then it meant they better go, actually take them to it, since that's what they were coming to do. And so as God will do and as his word will attract, they became addicted to the study of the scriptures and have come ever since. But you can imagine that it's changed everything for me, because I could use some material. I mean, I'm telling you, I got as much material on Keith's side of the family as I've got on mine, but it has taught me just here recently, you know what, I might ought to stick with my own. Because just as I'm about to tell a story, I look over there and there they are, and they're just smiling at me so sweetly that I think, I think I'll stick to my own family. So I'm just gonna tell you, here are a few things. My family alone, not Keith's, my family of origin alone has dealt with. Infidelities, sexual abuse, sexual sin, separations, divorce, drugs, alcohol, homosexuality, mental illness, financial crises, failed adoption, betrayals, splits, seasons of estrangement, and I started thinking, even longer seasons of just plain estrangement. I know somebody can relate to that. Spiritual crises, several of my siblings leaving the faith over some of the hypocrisy they saw in the home. My big brother, who I dearly love, I've said before on our Wednesdays, is a Buddhist. And so family crises, spiritual crises, and I'd go on if you had the time and if I could bear to say it. But somebody listening or viewing today might be inclined to think, you know, that would make me feel depressed. I mean, to recount all that, when was the last time you went, okay, this is what my family has been through, and you just started out the list. What would it look like for you? That's a little of what it looks like for me. Many of you can relate. You have something of that. You're going, you know what, you have all of them, but I have at least a third of those. But like, you have all of them. But you know, it doesn't make me feel depressed. I remember a time that it did. Let me tell you when it does. It does when your heart has not been healed yet. Then it still has that oppressive feeling to it because the enemy is all over it. But when we begin to get freed up, we can look at something like that and we don't feel depressed about it. We feel like we're a miracle. That's what it shows me, that I am a miracle. Not too long ago, some months ago, my oldest daughter came to me and said, Mother, I want to ask you. I'm finally ready to hear. I want to know what your real live experience was with your abuse. And I want to know who it was, and I want to know what it was. And so, you know, I waited. My young daughter asked me that several years ago. And, you know, they just were not ready to hear it. And so I told her in confidence because I knew when the time was right, they would say something. And they're young adult women at this point. So my oldest daughter, she's more sensitive of heart, and it just took her a little longer to be ready. But after I told her, her chin dropped down like this, and she looked over at me and said, Mother, you really are a miracle. I said, Honey, yes, somebody else might not know that, but I know it. I know that I myself am a wonder. Many of you, you're a wonder. You are a living, breathing, walking miracle. That's what it tells me.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Wow. Beth, you are a wonder. I wish I could give you a hug and your daughter. I wish everyone, Beth, who, regardless of how difficult the journey, could understand what a wonder they are if they would just yield the clay of their life, really, into the restoring hands of God. It's what Betty and I are praying for our nation right now, that we'll restore faith, family, and freedom before it's too late. I hope you'll get the book, Indivisible. It's in the bookstores. You can go online. My suggestion is, this is what all the retailers are telling me, that get it quick. It's very likely in the first week to 10 days, all the first printing's gone. You can't imagine the desire we're hearing from people. I want the book. I want it for everyone to know. You have a heart to help people. That's why you appreciate Beth. I think it's why you love Betty. You love me. Betty's easy to love. She really is. You know, you might be surprised. You'd be easy to love, too. In spite of all the things you see as blemishes. But let me ask you something. Can you love somebody that lives way beyond your little viewing area? And could you do what Jesus said is so important? Give a cup of water? I want you to listen to a medical doctor. Just listen to what he has to say about something that you can correct. Yes, you can. Listen closely.
It depends on the type of illness, but in general, if a child has waterborne disease and he is not treated in the first 24 hours, he has a 60 to 70% chance of getting worse because of dehydration. After that, the child's body will probably shut down and die.
This is a place where we came to bathe, to wash our dishes, and we take the water back home and drink it. We cook our food in this water. They also bring the animals in here to wash them. The kids get sick often. They have diarrhea, fever, and vomiting. We take them to the health center almost each month, but they keep getting sick. My child right now is sick with diarrhea. A lot of children from this community have died. This water is contaminated. We know it, but there's nothing we can do about it.
But there is something we can do about it. I want to ask you to reach out and really touch someone with love. Right now, and throughout this program, people have been calling. Some of them perhaps concerned about what's going on in their family. Maybe in their country, something's on their heart. Maybe their heart's broken, so they call for prayer. Love pays for that call. But I want to ask you to call right now to say, you know what? I want to give those people a fresh, clean, non-contaminated water source. Let's drill them a well. We're going to drill hundreds of wells this year, and you're the one that determines how many. We have focused on 12 different nations, and we're asking you to help us drill the wells. Betty, they're $4,800. You and I have had the joy of asking God years ago, help us be able to do this. Please, dear God, and He answered our prayer because it was really in our heart to do it. And I believe that our viewers, there's some of you who can drill a well. There may be some who can drill more than one. Thank God there are some that do that. There are some who can give $1,200 and pray, Lord, give three more, the ability to give $1,200 and we'll have a well, or $2,400 and pray for one to match that. Some of you can drill a well, but Betty, there are many people who give $48, and that gives 10 people water for life. And the thing I think our viewers need to understand is the $48 that gives 10 people water for life, or the $144 that gives 30, that's just as important and perhaps more so even than those who give the entire well, because we don't have that many who can do that. But many can give 48.
That's right, James. And this should excite us. It excites James and me. We love giving opportunity for these families, these children. You heard the heart of that mother. She knows the water is bad. But what can she do? Well, this is the answer. We can go in and drill these water wells and give them a choice. Which would you think they'd take, the clean water or the muddy, diseased water? I know. Please help us be a part of doing this.
Well, we know Jesus said, if you give just a cup of water in my name, you don't lose your reward. And you let Him determine the reward. But as far as Betty and I are concerned, the fact we gave the water is reward enough. To see a child have health and a chance at life, that's reward enough. We're sending, by the way, these beautiful little coffee mugs. One of them represents the clean water. The other one, of course, is just tan. It represents the contaminated, but they're beautiful coffee mugs. You'll enjoy them, but I think every time you use them, and you will, you'll pray for people to have clean water. We're asking you to make the best gift you can. We want to send you the book, Believe This, Not That. Don't believe the lies, believe the truth. And if you'll drill a well or give a gift of $1,200 or more, we want to send the beautiful bronze, The Lion and the Lamb. It's absolutely beautiful. Please, right now, dial that number. We're going to send you some gifts to bless you, but you're going to be making a gift that gives life. It gives these children and their families a chance. Thank you for making that call. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org. Use your bank card like it's a check. Father, I pray every person watching, please, Lord, touch their heart, and every person watching will give something. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, thank you for making that call. Thank you for making that gift.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we will begin drilling 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people, and $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Believe This, Not That, a brand new topical Bible promise book that will encourage you in every area of life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request our newly released Water for Life mug set, a daily reminder of the clean water you make possible to those who thirst. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lamb and the Lion. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, I really pray you will help us drill a well. You know, Betty and I, we sent a well this week. And so it must be nice to be able to do that. You see, it's something we asked God to let us do years ago. And he said, I'll give you more than enough so you can do it. Why don't you ask him? And by the way, we want to send the beautiful lion and the lamb bronze. That's so beautiful. Isn't that beautiful, Betty?
Beautiful.
And this is a... You know, I've been telling everybody, I know the day will come when the lion lie down with the lamb. I'm just praying to have enough inspiration in America I can get the donkey to lie down with the elephant. Wouldn't that be a good start? frankly, that's what I think Indivisible will do. I think it'll bring together a harmony that'll heal our land. So you be sure and get this. It's in the bookstores, but we'll be sending you these wonderful gifts to bless you. And want to thank you for helping us give water. I pray you release rivers of living water through your life everywhere you go. God bless you. Tell your friends to watch Life Today. Get a copy of Indivisible. Read it and pass it on.
Freedom are under attack. As America faces battles within, many wonder where to turn. In their new book, James Robison and Jay Richards call us to stand together before it's too late. As one nation, truly under God. Indivisible, available now through online and retail bookstores.
I'm very excited about the book Indivisible because of the hope it offers our nation. We're going to be traveling across the nation in the Indivisible Book Tour. Check the website to see if and when we'll be in your area. We'd love to meet you. So look it up on the website and come visit us in the Indivisible Book Tour. I think the stage is set for the greatest awakening in history.
James Robison and Jay Richards encourage us to become one nation, truly under God, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use, unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.